Colm, there was an incident, wasn't there, in which something was seen to open up. Can you describe that?
Yeah, that I think the incident you're talking about happened in August of 97, and that was really the summer when all hell broke loose on the ranch for NIDS people. It was like every time NIDS people were on the ranch, which was all the time practically, there was stuff happening. And it was about 2 a.m. when we had two observers on this ridge, which overlooked a small pasture, and the pasture had been a sort of an epicenter of all sorts of, strange happenings previously. So, you know, they were staking it out. It was 2 a.m. It was getting late. Nothing had happened. So they were beginning to pack up their equipment when one of them noticed this small, dull yellow light that began to appear on the ground about 200 feet below them, very close to the ground. And as they watched it, they could see, you know, it was strange. It was getting bigger and bigger. It looked like it was just growing, located about 3 feet off the ground. So they thought, well, might as well unpack the equipment again and take a look at this. So one of the things that NIDS had was they had state-of-the-art equipment, including night vision equipment, and then equipment to measure alpha, beta, gamma, you name it, X-ray equipment. So they unpacked the equipment. One guy grabbed the night vision binoculars. The other guy grabbed a camera with infrared film in it. And the guy looking through the night vision equipment could see, he started describing a three-dimensional, rather than a dull yellow light, this actually was a three-dimensional, brightly lit tunnel. And he started describing at the far end of this tunnel that looked like there was movement happening. And the other guy was watching this large, about 4 foot in diameter, dull yellow light. He could not see anything three-dimensional. The guy noticed movement at the end of the tunnel, and then he gradually discerned this shape. It looked like a humanoid shape that was crawling towards him through this tunnel of light that was located about 4 feet off the ground in the middle of nowhere. And this creature became clearer and clearer as it got towards the mouth of the tunnel. And it looked like a large humanoid creature that was entirely black. No features in the face. It was just like a black shadow-like face, heavily muscled. And the creature was literally elbowing and maneuvering along this tunnel of light. And finally, it reached the mouth of the tunnel, reached out, struggled onto the ground, stood up, and then vanished into the night.
Wow.
Now, in the meanwhile, the guy who had the camera was taking these long exposure infrared film shots. But immediately after this creature stood up from the mouth of the tunnel and vanished into the night, the diameter of the light started to shrink. And within a couple of minutes, it had shrunk almost to nothing, and then it was gone. So immediately it was gone. The first thing these guys thought of was, you know, this thing is coming up the ridge right after us. So, you know, they were listening for maybe 15 minutes. They didn't hear anything. So eventually got the equipment and clambered down the 200-foot cliff all the way down to where the incident had happened. And the first thing that was obvious was a very strong smell of sulfur in the air exactly where it had happened. And the other thing was there was no sense of no tracks. There was nothing except that strong smell. They immediately activated all of this portable instrumentation. They searched for anything that might have been left there in terms of residues. They checked for radiation. There was absolutely nothing visible. So after about an hour of reconnoitering, they went back to the command center, where there were two other of the researchers who had been stationed further down on the ranch who hadn't seen this incident. But, you know, this was a classic incident that happened on the Skinwalker Ranch, where once technology that could see into the infrared was utilized, something became very, very clear, because those dull yellow lights were very, very common on the property. And this was really the first time that they had been captured in the infrared. This night vision technology went very, very deep into the infrared, and it was pretty obvious that this activity was not visible to the human eye because the guy with the camera could only see the dull yellow light, whereas the guy with the infrared technology could see an awful lot more. Now,
I would think then that you'd be using an awful lot of infrared from there on out.
Yes. Pretty around that same time, a set of surveillance cameras that could see into the infrared were installed on the property on telephone poles. And, you know, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were rolling. They were monitoring pretty well everything. There was a lot of incidents that happened that were just outside the range of those cameras. You know, it was extremely frustrating because every time we pointed the cameras in one direction or in multiple directions, stuff would happen off camera. So it was almost like a cat and mouse game.
I seem to recall there was one incident. I believe they had cameras. Finally, I guess in frustration, you had a couple of cameras pointed at each other, each on poles, separated by I don't know how much distance, and something was done. I'm recalling a story that Bob relayed to me in one interview about something that was cut, right?
Yes, that's actually, you're right. We had a set of cameras, you know, covering the property, but one of those cameras was focused directly on another set of cameras. And for whatever reason, this happened in July of 98, those three cameras suddenly lost power, and the whole focus started investigating why. And once we reached the pole and found what had happened, it was pretty obvious that something had, with tremendous force, ripped the wiring out of all of the cameras on that pole. There was duct tape, layers and layers of duct tape that were binding the wiring that went from the ground into the cameras, the video feed and the electric feed. All of that stuff had been ripped off. A PVC piping anchoring the wiring to the pole had been forcibly ripped off. So, you know, something was very angry and was very forceful in dismembering those cameras. But we remembered that we had another camera on another pole that was still running that was directly focused on this damage. So obviously we ran back to the command center and played back the videotape. And this happened at about 8:30 at night during the summer, so there was plenty of light left to still see what was had dismembered these cameras. We rolled the videotape, and then it went all the way past the 8:30 timestamp, where we knew the previous cameras had lost power, and there was absolutely nothing on the videotape. You could see sort of cows in the distance grazing sort of peacefully. You could see the pole, and you could see the cameras, but nothing whatsoever could be seen. Now, obviously, we took the footage back to Las Vegas. We got it digitally enhanced. We got it blown up. We really went the whole route on this, and we got it enhanced to the extent where you could see the tiny lights on the three cameras as they lost power. You could actually see that on the videotape, but
wow.
You could not see anything about what or who had completely destroyed those cameras. I mean, what had happened? It looked like there was a very, very forceful brute strength operation that had completely destroyed these cameras. And we had caught it on film, but there was nothing on film.